Brothers and sisters, how is your accomplishing going? Some of you know a lot. You have learned a lot and you've received a lot, but maybe it's not being accomplished in your life. What area of sin do you need to confess? Just confess it, be forgiven. And then take the truth that you have learned in a real relationship with Jesus and apply it and do it.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lindstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church.
And Greg, today's message focuses on our walk with Christ, not just what we say we believe, but how we actually live it out day to day.
You know, Dave, I believe this is where the body of Christ is in most need of teaching. We have so many who say they're Christians. They read their Bibles, they go to Bible studies, whatever it might be, but when it comes to living out what they're learning from the Word of God, or maybe not learning, there's a disconnect. So today we're going to consider how to be those who are not just hearers of the Word, but also doers of the Word. Our text is found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
Got to keep going to the Word of God, or I will forget. We are forgetful people. We need to renew our minds on a daily basis. So then we are to have whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, the excellent things, those things worthy of praise. And then whatever we have learned, what we have learned, we are to accomplish these things. And folks, it is the Word of God that we receive. It is the Word of God, 1 Peter chapter 2, that we are to long for because we grow in respect to salvation. It is the Word of God that grows us and sanctifies us. The Lord Jesus would pray in John 17:17, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. One other passage, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Paul was so happy because they accepted God's word for what it really was. If you really realize what it is, it's God's word from a loving, gracious God who gave his son for you. You're going to accept it, and you're going to want to then do it. You're going to learn it and do it because it teaches us about ourselves and what the Lord wants to do in us and what he calls for us to do. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, and for this reason, we constantly thank God that when you receive from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. God's word works in our hearts. It changes our thinking. It helps us understand the truth. It helps us understand what God's will is. But again, I warn you, there are those who learn but never come to the knowledge of the truth. There are those who can come to a good church and hear sermons day after day after day, but the heart is not right. They're not saved. There's hardness of heart or sin in their lives. 2 Timothy 3:7, always learning, speaking of the bad guys, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Learning is not everything, as we're going to see. We need to learn and then receive. We heard earlier what God says about this subject. You can be a hearer, but that may not mean that it is getting to the heart. Let's turn to James 1:21. So you need to be in a good church, but your heart needs to be right too. It needs to be dependent on Jesus. I can't do this, Lord God. Help me. Humbly coming before the God of the Word. Help me understand your Word, Lord God. Help me. I need you. James 1:21, therefore putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the Word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the Word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. There are people who come to church and hear the word every week and they delude themselves. Notice what he says here. For if anyone is a hearer of a word and not a doer, which means you haven't been changed on the inside. He says, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. The illustration is you come and look in the mirror, you see yourself, you recognize what you are, and then you walk away and you immediately forget what you are. So right when you're here, you're hearing it, but then when you leave, it's gone like that. That's a hearer who deludes himself. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, that's God's word, the law of liberty, and abides by it or abides with it. The word is staying with you. He says, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. I've already mentioned chapter 2 of James, which says basically that if you have faith that isn't working, can that be saving faith? The whole discourse in the middle of chapter 2 to the end is about saving faith. People have faith, but is that the type of faith that actually saved you? You see? See, because if you truly got saved by trusting in Jesus Christ, you are going to be changed. And if you start sinning and messing up, God's going to spank you so that you will learn and grow in Him. And it's a good thing, like a good father who loves would do. So some of you might think you're saved, but you might be deluding yourselves. You need to set your wickedness and malice aside, confess it, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Receive the word that there's a judgment, and you stand convicted and condemned, but Jesus Christ paid the price, and that He died for your sins and rose from the dead. Trust in Jesus Christ and be forgiven. There's even an illustration in Romans chapter 2. Let's turn it for a minute. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 1, the end of it is condemning the pagan because they see what God's made and they suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Romans chapter 2 is condemning the Jew or the religious Jew who is doing everything on the outside, following God's word, but on the inside it's corrupt. They're not doing. Romans chapter 2, verse 9. There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. God is not partial about His judgment. But glory and honor and peace for every man who does good, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. For all who have sinned without the law will perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law, speaking of Jews, will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. You see, if I have trusted in Christ Jesus, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, which the Old Testament pointed to, all those sacrifices, if I trust in the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, He will enable me by His Spirit to obey His word. He gives me a new desire. I actually want to obey, and my heart hurts when I don't obey. He changes us. And then He gives an example here in Romans, which I think is often misunderstood, but the four helps us understand. Verse 14, for when the Gentiles, speaking to Jewish religious people who aren't saved, for when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature or instinctively the things of the law, that's obeying it, by the way, not having a law, they are a law to themselves, for they show the work of the law written on their hearts. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, He puts His word on our hearts, and we're able to do it. We're able to do it when we trust Him, when we obey Him. So do you see how important it is to be learning the Word of God? I need to learn the Word of God. But then I'm commanded, as Paul says here, to accomplish. Do follow through with the action. Follow through with being a good worker at work, doing your work heartily unto the Lord and unto men. Not pilfering, not having the wrong attitude because you serve the Lord. Follow through with loving your wife and living in an understanding way. Follow through with making the Lord the first in your life, not leaning on your understanding, but trusting in Him. Follow through with not worrying, but praying. Follow through. Accomplish it, brothers and sisters. So then, we are to learn, and it's your responsibility to learn. It's my responsibility to teach. There's a stricter judgment for teaching, but it's not my responsibility for you to learn. That's yours. And so he says, the things you have learned, accomplish them. Well, notice it's not just simply speaking of just learning, because there are those who learn or hear, maybe learn, but they don't really receive it in their hearts. Back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. We need to learn the truth. We need to place ourselves in the position to learn with a right heart. Not a hard heart, but a right heart that is receptive, willing to be corrected by God, convicted and corrected and trained. Then secondly, we are to receive it. Now I hear of sometimes that ministry is being discredited because of the ungodly response of those taught. People that aren't serving the Lord, people that are messed up in churches where they're being taught the Word of God. That's not the fault of the person who's teaching. It's the fault of the person who's receiving or not. You see? The word translated received here, paralambano, speaks to take to oneself, to take alongside. I'm going to take alongside something. So I learn it, but I take it alongside. I receive it. I receive it. You see, and we receive it, we take it alongside when the Spirit illumines it and helps us understand. Let's turn to one other passage, to John chapter 16. And the Lord Jesus, on the night he's betrayed, he's talking to his disciples. He's going to go, but he says, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to bring you another one like me, a helper. He's going to send thy Spirit. And so we see in John 16 this encouragement to his disciples and the apostles. John 16, verse 12, and we get a view of what the Spirit of God does. He says in John 16, 12, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Well, he's so gracious, the Lord is, by the way. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak of his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and disclose it to you. That's the job of the Spirit of God, to take the things of God and reveal it to us, the things of Christ. All things from my Father are mine, therefore he takes that of mine and he will disclose it to you. The Spirit of God enables the child of God to learn and then receive the truth of God. Remember in 1 Thessalonians 2, I shared it earlier, Paul was so thankful that they received God's word, not as the word of man, but the word of God, for what it really is, the word of God. They received it rightly. Now, if you don't receive God's word, it is an evidence that you are not saved. 1 John 4, verses 4 to 6. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he is in the world. They, the bad guys, he's saying, are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. You want to know why some churches are so bad and so full of people? Because the world loves it. Okay? And he says here, we are from God, speaking of the apostles who are bringing forth the word of God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. What is your response to the Word of God? If it's not right, God is pointing out in your heart you need a Savior. If your response is not right and He loves you so much, He'll save you if you call out to Him. Now, we believers can be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, and we can be not right at times. Just confess and you are immediately forgiven. And move forward, press forward, not looking back. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. So then what is your response to the Word of God? When you come here Sunday after Sunday, what is your response? Do you praise the Lord for it and then walk out and it's right at the other ear? Or are you convicted of it? Is it working in your heart? Do you have a desire? Yes, I've blown it here, Lord. I've failed there. But thank you for revealing that. Thank you for forgiving me. I want to be different in the way I speak to people. I want to be different in the way I treat people. I want to love my brothers and sisters like you have commanded me to do. I trust you to do it through me. Help me, Lord Jesus. So then, the things you have learned and the things you have received, accomplish them. Brothers and sisters, how is your accomplishing going? Some of you know a lot. You have learned a lot. And you've received a lot, but maybe it's not being accomplished in your life. What area of sin do you need to confess? Just confess it. Be forgiven. Are you a friend with the world? Confess that. What is it? And then take the truth that you have learned in a real relationship with Jesus and apply it and do it. Continually accomplish. Continually practice these things. And then look at our passage again back in Philippians. The things you have learned, the things you have received. And now he says, and heard and seen in me. You've heard when he's not in their presence. You have seen in me, Paul says. Look at the things I have done as I have trusted Christ and accomplished those things. We have an inspired example here of the Apostle Paul, a man, a human being like you and I, who trusted the Lord. He says, Do these things. Remember what he said earlier in chapter 3, verse 17? Look at this. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. What's the pattern? Considering others is more important than himself. There's a whole bunch of passages. Let me share a few. We're to imitate his prayer life. Chapter 1, verse 3, I thank God in all my remembrance of you. We're to imitate his understanding of doctrine and God's sovereignty. I'm confident that the work he began, he will complete it in Christ Jesus. We're to imitate his attitude towards circumstances. He says, I know that my circumstances have turned out for greater progress of the gospel. We're to imitate his focus, to live as Christ and to die as gain. We're to imitate his view of life and death. He was hard-pressed, but he knew that to stay on would be to serve those in the body of Christ. We're to imitate his view of what is valuable and what is not. But whatever things were gained to me, those I have counted as loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ. We're to imitate his concern regarding false brethren. Beware of the dogs, the evil workers, the false circumcision, for we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God, glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. We're to imitate his passion to reach the goal of like-mindedness, Christ-likeness. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I press forward to what lies ahead. I press on to the goal, the upward prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The things we've seen in Paul, they're all throughout Scripture. Accomplish them. You're going through a trial. Look at how Paul, who trusted Jesus, functioned in that trial. Look at how he responded. Accomplish it. Not externally, but from a heart that is changed, that is trusting Jesus Christ. Well, how can we do this? We must abide in Christ. Jesus said in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, every time I preach and teach, I am so aware every single time, I can't do this, Lord Jesus. You must help me. And then I trust him to help me because he's called me to do it. I can't love my wife the way the Lord wants you to, but I step out in faith and trust him. And when I fail, I confess that. I can't raise my children in the fear and admonition of the Lord apart from him helping. And I trust him. And I step out in obedience and do what he says because he's right there enabling me to do it. I can't do my work heartily unto the Lord rather than men without him helping. But his word is working in my heart. I can't keep myself from worrying, but I obey his word and pray about it instead. Accomplish those things. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. What are you trusting in? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. The way we are able to accomplish and do what he says is by abiding and trusting in Jesus Christ. If you don't do that, you become a Pharisee or a rebel because you realize you can't do it and you get mad. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Just do it, right? Do it. Accomplish it. And then as we finish, we have a tremendous promise for those who will do so. The things you have learned and received and heard in me, practice. Accomplish these things continually, and the God of peace shall be with you. What a tremendous promise. The God of the universe, who is characterized by peace, will be with you. He will be with you. And you say, well, wait a second. I thought God is with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. I know those verses. Yes, he will never leave us nor forsake us. So what is this saying? I believe it's speaking of the fact that although God is with us, he has a spirit in us, that sometimes he's not with us. You know, when I'm sinning, he's not with me on that. When I'm making bad decisions, he is not with me on that. And I experience the result, the lack of peace. You know, when I choose to do the wrong thing, is God there affirming that and helping me and enabling me? No, he is not with me. But when we're doing what we've learned, received, and seen and heard in Paul, and other biblical examples in Scripture, you can go through the Scriptures and see them, the God of peace is with you. Tremendous passage. I got three left I want to share, and then we're done. Look at Isaiah chapter 41, middle of your Bibles. This passage encouraged me greatly through one of the testings the Lord allowed me to have many, many, many years ago. Many years ago. This is a verse I clung to. It was it. I clung to the Lord and this verse, and that was it. And God was faithful to bring me through. Someday I'll tell you about it. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And then another encouragement. Behold, those who are angered at you will be shamed and dishonored. And he goes on. The Lord is with us in the midst of our troubles and trials. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord look to and fro throughout the whole earth that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. When you choose to do the right thing, let's say you have a situation, give you an example, in a marriage, and you need to confront something graciously. Yes, love covers a multitude of sins, but you know the Lord wants you to confront it, not to allow it to go on. And you know all hell will break loose in that relationship. Trust the Lord, accomplish his word, and the God of peace is with you. It is always better to experience the difficulty of obedience than reap the fruit of complacency and disobedience. Trust the Lord. We know from Matthew 28, behold, I am with you even to the end of the age, right? You see, when you're obeying God in whatever situation, no matter what happens, you're accomplishing his will, God is with you. He is supporting you. The God of peace. And guess what? There is a ton of peace. When we don't have peace is when there's sin, by the way. We're not trusting the Lord. But there's peace. The God of peace is with you. Well then, are you a doer of the word or just deluded? There's some of you here today that don't know the Lord. And God is gracious because he loves you. And he sent his only son to pay the full price for your sin. If you'll admit it, you'll turn to Jesus, believe that he's God who took on human flesh, that he died for your sins and rose from the dead, cry out, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But you got to humble yourself. That's our problem, sin. You got to humble yourself. He'll save you. And there are some of you here today who are believers who are not accomplishing what you've learned. Maybe because you haven't learned because you placed yourself in bad teaching. You're being disobedient. Be in a good church where you are taught, where the word is preached day in and day out, like we saw in 2 Timothy. And yet there are some of you who have the word of God and you're not accomplishing what it is. What sin is in the way? Confess it. And oh, we are forgiven. And move forward praising him for that forgiveness. Forgiven. Confess that sin. And then the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in biblical examples from Scripture. Practice. Accomplish these things. And the God of peace will be with you.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. And Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, for that person who wants to begin becoming a doer of the word, but feels overwhelmed and not sure where to start, what would you recommend to them?
Well, first of all, they really need to examine themselves to see if they know the Lord, because you need to know the Lord to be able to obey the Lord. Otherwise, it's impossible. And secondly, I would just start where you are right now. In other words, what did you learn today in the Word of God? You need to be putting that into action. Rather than trying to make a massive correction, just start by beginning to obey what you've learned in his word, what convicted you today. By taking that first step of obedience, you'll find that his word will illumine your path and continue to guide you step by step in ongoing obedience. Indeed, we have that picture from Scripture that the word of God is like a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path.
You see, every step we take needs to be illumined by the Word of God. God's Word is what reveals what we are to do, and if we are in God's Word, the God of the Word will enable us to obey Him in each and every step of obedience. And as we walk along doing what is pleasing in His sight, you'll find that there is great joy in the context of a right relationship with the living God.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.